The big topic of conversation has been the sanctioning, the proposal to sanction members of Congress for taking photographs or live streaming from the floor.
And what's the argument against that, Elizabeth?
Well, you know, what we saw what happened with the sit-in last spring, where we did take extraordinary measures, and I was part of that. I was one of the rabble-rousers.
I mean, John Lewis and the guy.
John Lewis, had, right. Exactly. And it was indeed civil disobedience. We were breaking the rules for a very specific reason. And it hasn't been done before. And it hasn't been done since, I will note. We did that back in June. And the reason we did was, at that point, the 3.5 years since the killings in Newtown in my district, in the House of Representatives, we had been denied the opportunity to debate or vote on a single piece of legislation to address the scourge of gun violence in this country. And having been shut down time and time and time again to debate any measure or have a vote, we decided that we needed to make a point about that, that you should not shut down the voice of the American people.
And people took pictures, right, of this sitting down in the front of the chamber, and that's what they're objecting to?
So, there are rules in the House that you're not supposed to, quote, use electronic devices to record the events on the floor. So that includes photographs, and that includes particularly video. Now, there are some legitimate reasons. There are questions about sort of the side conversations people are having, of which there are many on the floor, and there are important conversations that happen on the floor, and preserving the confidentiality of those. That's an important issue, and you certainly don't want the House shut down all the time by people taking over the chamber. But the proposal, which I will say is opposed by the Democrats and is also opposed by the Freedom Caucus, the proposal, which was finally included, there was an effort to strip it out of the rules by some of the Republicans last night, but the proposal we'll be voting on today includes an unprecedented provision, which would refer anyone found live streaming from the floor or photographs, it would appear, you know, which I can tell you people occasionally take pictures of themselves or each other on the floor, vote totals, you know, when an important piece of legislation, especially something they've been involved in, has transpired. It's part of our own personal documenting of what's going on. But those aren't used, you know, those are for people's personal use. This proposal would refer those people to the House administrative officers for, on first offense, $500 fine, and I think the second offense is a $2,500 fine. Now, there are several things unprecedented. First and most importantly, it's a First Amendment violation. You know, that people are being fined for recording and documenting the proceedings of the government, right? So that's number one. Number two, it is unprecedented because it is delegating the sanctioning authority to an administrative officer. These are civil servants. These are government workers who serve the House of Representatives. And the rules right now have always been that sanctions come about one way only, and they come about naming specific individuals for specific offenses and voted on by the House as a whole. Now, that is a reason about accountability. Our whole point about doing the sit-in, Alan, was the accountability of the House Republican leadership that had thwarted an attempt to have any vote or any debate. And now they are hiding again, you know, hiding behind the administrative officers to try to avoid having an embarrassing situation like the sit-in. I think it is very ill-advised. I think it has far bigger implications than just what happened on the very important gun safety issue. It has, you know, more profound implications about delegating authority and independent, you know, the independent and accountability of each member of Congress. People need to be on record. If someone's going to be sanctioned, the House needs to vote on record and name names, and not give it to some administrative officer. Pity the poor House administrative officer who has to do this. Think about that. Think about how terrible that is. They're effectively fining their bosses That's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong for those to put those folks in that position. And frankly, voters need to know if someone's engaged in such bad behavior, you know what? The House has a whole lot of vote on it, and they ought to be publicly sanctioned.
Have you been talking to your colleagues about this? Whether they're
I have.
And,
I have.
And what have they been telling you?
People are outraged. I think it's a terrible idea.
It is just one more way to keep those rambunctious Democrats in line, do you think?
Well, it's also to keep some of the rambunctious Freedom Caucus, the renamed Tea Party folks, are now call themselves the Freedom Caucus. Well, apparently they have been engaged in this live streaming quite regularly and using it on their social media. So this may be, I mean, it's coming out that this may be part of an attempt by House Republican leadership to corral their own ranks. Now, I do think it is very understandable and legitimate to sanction people who are doing fundraising off of recording things on the floor. I think that is not appropriate. And I think people can be sanctioned for that. And I think if you did that, I think most folks wouldn't have any problem with it. But what they're talking about is a blanket prohibition and delegation of the sanctioning authority to functionaries. It's wrong. It's wrong. Again, this you need to have your Congress be accountable, whether it's in the ethics area or whether it's in this question about if there's an abuse of First Amendment activities, well, then sanction people. That should be appropriate, but not some functionary fine. That's just wrong. That's not the way the freedom of the press and that's not the way it works.
Elizabeth Esty,
you can tell I'm a little hot under the collar about this. Alan. But
I'm delighted.
You know, I think it's outrageous.
I'm delighted.
I think it's outrageous and highly ill-advised. In it seems an overreaction, or both an overreaction to and in line with some of the outrageous behavior we saw through the last election.
Elizabeth Esty, I love the fact that you are outraged, and it sounds like an outrageous situation. I wanted to ask you about Sandy Hook. And I know that nothing has ever touched me as much as the death of those children. And just being, because I have a 2.5-year-old grandson, I just, my heart weeps every time I think of it. And I'm wondering, here we are, you've been fighting this fight on guns. Is there anything good to report?
Well, I think there are a number of good things to report. One is that I think it was part of the reason that Maggie Hassan defeated Kelly Ayotte, actually, was over the gun issue. That was a hotly contested issue in that incredibly expensive and hard-fought Senate race in New Hampshire. And that is one where, you know, gun safety won, despite the efforts of the NRA. So I think that was important and significant. And the other win is this. The American people have not changed their mind after Sandy Hook. The American people are still over 90% in favor of expanding background checks to cover all commercial sales of guns. People are in favor of efforts to help save lives. And I think there may be an opening with the next president. He has talked a lot about not only make America great again, but make America safe. He's been touted himself as a big law and order president. Well, I was just looking in Washington Post today had the figures about gun deaths in the cities in this last year and how terrible they were. Those numbers somewhat torqued by the just appalling numbers in Chicago. So there are certainly policing techniques and other things that can be done to help save lives. But I will tell you, the article also disclosed that in the places where gun deaths have not seen these spikes, in the cities like New York, they have gone after illegal guns, and they have toughened penalties and sentences against those who are committing crimes with guns and repeat offenders. So there are specific policies that help work to reduce death. And I will not be shy about going to the incoming president and making that case, that this is fully consistent with the Second Amendment. In fact, it's part of what we need to do to help protect our police officers as well as the public. There's a strong case to be made, and I think we have a president who has the opportunity to have a Nixon to China moment on this, to take on the biggest special interest in Washington, and that's the NRA.
Elizabeth Esty, we are out of time for this second of our conversations. I always love talking to you. When we come back the next time, we'll have lots more to talk about.
Thanks so much.